The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Good morning to all of you. And if you have children, they're with you at home. I have a story for you and for the older children at home too, and here worshiping in this room with us. Yesterday, David and I went to a sheep farm out in Monroe, and I posted a video of our visit. In fact, there are two videos that you can go back and look at on Facebook Live, but I wanted to show you a couple of pictures of our time there yesterday. It was a lot of fun, and we can do a field trip there one day when we're able to get back together. But here is a picture of the pasture with the sheep out grazing. And this is my favorite picture. It was taken in the barn, and it's two little lambs who were born this past week. Aren't they cute? And if you view one of the videos on those little lambs in the barn, we'll be able to bring a couple of them here to the church at some point. So you can watch out for that. Maybe even next Sunday or the Sunday after. Being at the sheep farm yesterday reminded me of a vacation I took with my son Garrett when he was 10 years old. We went to the northern part of England and stayed for 3 days on a sheep farm. One day we were out walking down a country lane, and we came across a shepherd who was moving a flock of sheep from one pasture into this pen-like area. He had two dogs, sheep dogs, and he would make these little noises and go like, or wiggle his fingers or his nose, it seemed like. And those dogs would follow the directions of the shepherd and would herd those sheep toward the gate into the pen. But the sheep would not go into the pen. So the shepherd would go to the pen gate and lead the sheep into the pen. So now, doesn't that help you understand the story that you just heard read from the gospel a little more? The other thing that you heard in the gospel lesson today, so here is the shepherd, is that at night, when there was no gate, or like if you go to Bethlehem today, you'll go outside of Bethlehem to what is called the Shepherd's Cave, where some people say the shepherds were watching their flocks by night on that first Christmas. And so the shepherd would actually become the gate by laying down across the opening of the mouth of the cave or the sheep pen. So when Jesus says that he is the gate, he is referring to the shepherd who actually lays down to protect the sheep from, that's a robber, that's a thief, a bad guy. And then what is this? It's a wolf. So the shepherd would lead the sheep into the safety of the pen and then lay across the opening and protect the sheep from the robbers who would come and steal the sheep and from the wild animals who would want to attack the sheep. So today, we remember that Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. And here's what that means for us. Like the sheep in my story would follow the shepherd into the gate area and then go into the pen, if we stay close to Jesus, he will lead us where we need to go, even if we're not sure where that is. Things have been different for us over the past few weeks, haven't they? We haven't been able to go to school. We haven't been able to play with friends in the neighborhood. We haven't been able to do a lot of things that we like to do. And to be honest with you, we're not sure when we're going to be able to do all of those things again. Hopefully, it will be soon, but we just don't know yet, do we? And that can make us afraid at times. And it can make us sad. But one thing is for certain, and one thing we can know today, even if we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week, and that is that like the good shepherd in the story Jesus told, God is with us. And if we stay close to Jesus, Jesus will always guide us and take care of us. There are many ways to stay close to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And two of these you can do every day. You can do them today. You can do them tomorrow. You can do them throughout the week. You can talk to Jesus. We call that prayer. And we could read stories about Jesus in the Bible. In fact, you might want to have your parents or an adult read those stories from the Bible to you in the Gospels. Maybe they'll learn something too. So happy Good Shepherd Sunday to all of you. And I can't wait to see you again in church really soon. So why don't we pray? Jesus, thank you for taking care of us and being our Good Shepherd. Help us to learn more about you and know that because you are with us all the time, we don't have to be afraid. Amen. So I'm just going to stay seated and talk to the adults and to all the children, whoever is listening. Imagine that you live in Palestine or beyond at the end of the first century. You've decided to become a Jesus follower. And today you're meeting in someone's home for a meal, perhaps. And after the meal, there will be a celebration of the Eucharist. Perhaps you've risked a lot to be in this gathering. You may have been persecuted or disowned by your family or the religious community in your village. You may feel isolated, unsure of the future. After the meal, someone reads this portion of John chapter 10, the portion that you've heard read this morning. And you think about that last sentence, verse 10. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. John's gospel addresses his audience in the plural. And these texts from the gospel of John were They were meant to be read aloud in public worship services. And often the worshipers in those small house churches, just like you're at home today, they were sitting at home worshiping in those house churches. They were under a great deal of pressure. I am the gate for the sheep is one of the seven I am sayings by which John communicates Jesus' identity to those house churches to whom he wrote at the end of the first century. And in all likelihood, his audience, those people who were reading the letter as well as hearing it, were either persecuted or isolated or both. And it's followed by another one of those seven I am statements. In fact, it appears in verse 11, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now, these I am sayings in John's gospel are simply stated. They're straightforward. But they make remarkable statements about Jesus' identity. And I think they're meant to remind these early Christians who it is that they've chosen to follow. And often, remember, they chose to follow Jesus at great peril. These I am statements, these stories that John tells about Jesus are meant to bring comfort and to strengthen faith. They are at the same time invitations into a relationship, a lifelong relationship with Jesus. And they're also challenges. So there's comfort and challenge inherent in each one of them. I don't think you can overlook the point that John makes in chapter 10. He says Jesus is the good shepherd, but laying claim to that identity, Jesus also has to lay down his life for the sheep. The connection between Jesus' identity and the cross is unmistakable. And in fact, all of those I am sayings in John's gospel lead up to the cross and resurrection event. Now, when you think about it, doesn't it seem like a contradiction for Jesus to talk about abundant life in verse 10, and then in the very next verse, he talks about death, about laying down his life for the sheep? But that's what Jesus does. Jesus' words in this passage remind me of medical doctors and other first responders in these times in which we live. I mean, there's a lot of honor and prestige given to doctors and first responders, and rightfully so. But that with that honor and prestige comes a cost, doesn't it? And all of us are aware of first responders and doctors and nurses and paramedics who have actually laid down their life to help other people. But before Jesus declares himself to be the good shepherd, Jesus says that he is the gate. Now, hopefully you were paying attention during the children's talk. What does he mean by that? What does Jesus mean that he is the gate? Well, a gate, you know, is meant to keep the sheep in or to let them out. So the shepherd brings the sheep in to keep them safe, and then the shepherd lets them out into the pasture so that they can grow and thrive. And I think this passage is a really great example of the tension that we experience in the living of the Christian life. I mean, the comfort that our faith provides in a time of crisis also comes with the challenge to move out beyond the secure walls of our pen into the pasture of growth and being on mission with God to reconcile all things and all people. And the truth is, we need both of those, don't we? We need both the comfort of feeling secure in these days, and yet we also need the challenge that comes with grazing in the pasture of growth and change. That's transformation. It's actually Christian discipleship. And I wonder on this day if really our greatest spiritual need is the need to give ourselves and our lives to something that is bigger than ourselves. And I wonder if that is what Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand, and what John is trying to help his readers and hearers understand. That we take Jesus up on his offer, not just to survive, but to thrive. Not just to get by, but to flourish. Not just to be happy, but to be joyful. Not just to tolerate the status quo, but to join God in God's mission to change the world. So a question for you today is, what do you need most from Jesus today? Do you need to feel comforted? Do you need to feel secure? Do you need to feel cared for? Do you need to feel loved? Or do you need to feel a little bit of challenge today by Jesus' promise that there is more to life than you've been told? Do you want to explore the more, to graze in the pasture of growth and change and transformation, to figure out what it means for you to give yourself to something bigger? Perhaps we need a little bit or a lot of both. And Jesus offers us both of those. Of this you can be certain this day. We are surrounded by things and events and people who will rob us of the life that Jesus promised us. And these days you see that fear and that anxiety on full display at times. Just get on the media. The blaming, the shaming, the greed of some who already have more than they need. The disregard for all of human life. These robbers and thieves will tell us not to listen to the voice of love. And brothers and sisters, their voice is loud. And then there are those more subtle robbers and thieves that seek to take away our peace, our inner peace. The robbers of isolation, the thief of uncertainty, the sense of dislocation that all of us feel right now because our routines, and I will tell you, I love my routine. And my routine has been upended, just ask David. And often we are our own thieves and robbers when we choose to succumb to fear. And when we listen to those voices that will rob our peace. And if we're not careful, those robbers and thieves will steal our joy and stifle our desire to live the abundant life that Jesus promised us. There's good news in this gospel we heard today. And as I told the children earlier, the good news is if we stay close to the shepherd, if we listen to Jesus' voice of love, if we choose to follow Jesus in the way of love, then I believe we will find both the comfort that we need today and the challenge to live into the fullness of life for which all of us were made. I want to invite you to look in your bulletin again and find that psalm. And why don't we pray that as our prayer. Let's pray together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen and amen.